Genesis chapter 28, I'm going to continue what we started a couple of weeks ago on the phrase, if God will be with me, that was spoken by Jacob right here in Genesis chapter 28. He says this in the chapter where God meets with him and he is having a dream of a ladder that extends up to heaven and the Lord speaks to him. It says in verse 12, he dreamed and behold a ladder set up on the earth. The top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, and the Lord begins speaking to him and says, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee. Now, that is the phrase that always arrests my attention. When God tells somebody, listen, I'm with you. There is nothing you cannot do. There is nothing that should intimidate you if you have this promise, I am with you by God. Who can ever defeat you? Who could ever take you and do what they want to without God's permission? I am with you. What life-altering improvements would you make if you were assured of God's presence? What would change in your life? I believe our Christian lives would improve if we were confident that God was with us. If you were truly assured that God was with you last time, we looked at the fact that you would be more dependable. Remember that? You would be more dependable. Who was one of the most dependable people you can remember in the Old Testament? Who was the man we looked at in Genesis chapter 39 out loud, if anybody knows? Joseph was the man. And I made this statement, the more dependent you are upon God, the more dependable you are. Said another way, the more you trust upon God, the more you are worthy of trust. That is, you are trustworthy. The more faithful you are to God, the more faithful you will be. And of course, we know Proverbs 25, 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Did you say a tooth out of joint? Yeah. Well, that's okay. It's confidence in an unfaithful man. No man who is truly dependent upon God is not dependable. Today, we're going to look at this fact. If you were truly assured that God was with you, you would be more dedicated. Now, just stop and think that without me having to finish this. Wouldn't you become more dedicated if you knew God was with you? Is there anyone who needs to be more dedicated, committed to God? Remember, Jacob is all alone here. And I see here that the assurance of God's presence for Jacob requires two things, faith and obedience. Let's talk about faith first of all. Jacob must accept by faith that God is with him since he cannot see him. And you and I must do the same. He assures us of his presence. Can you think of any promises of God's presence? We looked at other promises that Kayla wrote down a couple of weeks ago that had to do with God's promises. Can you think of any promises that have to do with the fact that God is with you? Yes, Jesus said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, in giving the Great Commission. Faith. You must accept by faith that God is with you since you cannot see him. You must simply believe the promises of his presence. Look at what Jacob comes to in verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Surely the Lord is in this place. And he calls it Bethel, which means house of God. A city that was formerly called Luz, he calls Bethel. Now I want you to notice in verses 20 and 21, the if-then statement. If, is the condition, then is the covenant. Look at the if in verse 20. Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me. And that's really where we're getting our title, if God will be with me. He says, if God will be with me, look for the then. Not until you get to verse 21, the last phrase of verse 21. Then shall the Lord be my God. Here's his statement of dedication. If God will be with me, he will be my Lord. He will be my Lord. Jacob responded to the assurance of God's presence with dedication, with a vow. And there's three things I see that his dedication involved. His dedication in verse 21 involved a peace. So that I coming into my father's house in peace. Verse 21, then shall the Lord be my God. Verse 22, it involved a place. Then shall this stone be God's house. It also involved, and you've got to keep this alliterated to make it right, a percent. You say, where do you get that? Look at verse 22. Then all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee the tenth unto thee. You say, every preacher's got to have that in his outline. It's got to have that percent in there. Well, that's right there in the text. Jacob would be dedicated. I will dedicate myself to you. That involves a peace, a place, and a percent. So assurance of God's presence requires faith. And secondly, I said, it involves obedience. Now, go to chapter 31. This is years later. And the Lord says to Jacob in verse 3, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred. And here it is again, and I will be with thee. What if Jacob had disobeyed and stayed? Why not stay? Look at the last chapter, the last verse. He had increased exceedingly, had much cattle, maidservants, men servants, camels, donkeys. I mean, God, he has become so, why not stay? Now again, obedience requires sometimes doing the hard thing. This is where I've made all my money. No, it's time for you to go, Jacob. You know, it's easy to show dedication to someone when you see that they are with you. But Jacob obeys in spite of the fact that he does not see God. He still obeys God Almighty. True dedication is even when somebody is not with you, your actions are as if they are. We can think as parents of our kids obeying and how rewarding it is when they obey us, even when we're not present. They go to school, they do something that you taught them to do, and they do it as if you were there. When the boss can trust you, even when you don't see him, even when he doesn't see you, you're trustworthy, you're dedicated. That's true dedication. So true dedication is when you realize that God is with you. You'll be more dedicated. The third thing, if you were truly assured that God was with you, you would be more decisive. Anybody here have a problem being decisive? Or can you not decide? Are there times when you're like... But it's not just at times, it's that's just the way you are. You can't make decisions. Somebody who truly realizes that God is with them would be more decisive. Now we're getting away from Jacob and we're going to somebody else who is assured of God's presence and the decisions he must make. Exodus chapter 3. And of course I'm speaking of Moses. Exodus chapter 3. This is a chapter where Moses is quite indecisive. God says to Moses, I have come down, verse 8, to deliver the children of Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out. Verse 10, come now therefore, I will send you unto Pharaoh. that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. You know the rest of the story, and even you see it in verse 11. First thing that Moses says, well, who am I? And he's very indecisive. He is arguing with God in chapter 3. He is arguing with God in chapter 4. He's vacillating. He's wavering. He's double-minded. And we know from James chapter 1 that a double-minded man is. He's unstable in all his ways. He is very unstable. He is indecisive. But God assures him of something in verse 12, and this is what he assures us too. And he said, God says, certainly, read the next few verse words. I will be with you, Moses. Now, folks, here again, if I just knew that God was with me, I could accomplish anything. I could go anywhere. I could do anything he wants me to do if I was truly assured of God's presence. But even Moses, when promised of God's presence, is somewhat indecisive. He was overwhelmed in verse 11 again with, who am I? And then he was given two promises by God. Verse 10, God said, I will send thee. Here's the great truth. God is behind me. When he sends you, God is behind me. And verse 12, I will be with you. The great truth, God is with me. I want you to see the statement of the promise. Moses has said, who am I? God answers him with, I will certainly be with you. There were others that you read of in the Old Testament who were very indecisive. There was an inadequacy experienced or expressed by one of the judges by the name of Gideon. God had said, Gideon, you great warrior. And Gideon's like, who, me? You know, he's looking around, me? Because he is not a great warrior. Here he is hiding from the Midianites. And God is calling him this great warrior. And he feels inadequate. Go to Judges chapter 6 and notice what is said in this passage to Gideon. Judges chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. Here's the assurance that God gives him, that he gives to Moses. 6:15, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, here it is, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now, folks, every one of us is inadequate. Every one of us is inadequate to our calling, but we are not incapable when God is with us. He gives us the promise of the power of his might. Jeremiah, the great prophet, the weeping prophet, he too was told by God, now I am sending you to do something. And what was Jeremiah's response? Does anybody remember how Jeremiah responded? Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 6. I'm just a child. Basically, same as Moses. Who am I? And God assures Jeremiah, I am with you. That's why I wanted to do this series, to see when God says he is with you, when God says he is with me, there is not a thing that you cannot do. And so there's the statement of the promise to Moses. When Moses says, who am I? God says, I will certainly be with you. So back there to Exodus chapter 3, you see the statement of the promise, I will be with you. And then there's the sign of the promise that is given. Down in verse 12 too. And this shall be a token unto thee. Here's the sign, Moses. Here's the sign. When you have done what I have called you to do, you will see. Now, that's the hard thing. When you do what I've said, you will see. Wait, God, show me now, then I'll do it. No, when you have done, when you have obeyed, then you will see. Now, God gave Moses some signs, but these signs weren't for Moses. They were for Pharaoh. Cast your rod down. It became a serpent. And he fled from it. Put your hand in your cloak and take it back out. And he did so. And that was when his hand turned white as leper, as a leper's hand would. And God said, this shall be a sign for those who don't believe, the children of Israel and for Pharaoh. But the sign that God gave Moses to say, now here's how you're going to know, is this found in verse 12. This shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Now, come on. You mean, there's so much that has to happen between now and then. Think about it, folks. You got the 10 plagues that have to happen. You got the what happens at the Red Sea that's got to happen. You've got so many things that happen before they ever get to that mountain. So all that time, Moses is simply trusting in the Lord. He becomes very decisive. I'm just going to obey. He gets to the Red Sea. And the Lord tells him, now put your staff out. He puts his staff out. The sea splits. He begins obeying the Lord without wavering, without dithering and saying, but no. He just starts obeying. Why? He is assured of God's presence. And he gets to Mount Sinai, according to the promise of Exodus 3:12. And God is always faithful because now he's got the token of that promise. But I want you to see that God gives his sign after obedience. Once the work assigned has been accomplished. And since the sign required faith, it also required courage and confidence on his part. I like other examples given in the Old Testament of men who were decisive. I think of three young men who were told, if you don't bow down to the statue, you're going into a fiery furnace. And he said, we are not careful to answer you, O king. Right away. We are not careful to answer you, O king. We will not bow down. That's decisiveness. We would be going, okay, should we do this or not? Man, hey guys, what do you think? Let's take a vote. Let's cast some lots. Let's, paper, scissors, let's do this thing and figure out, okay, what are we going to do? No, we will not do this. And we are not careful to tell you this. And what did they see with them in the fire? The fourth man, the Son of God. Decisiveness. The decisiveness that Joshua commanded or challenged the people with. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Decisiveness. When you know that God is with you. So if you were truly assured that God was with you, you'd be more dedicated and you'd be more decisive. Next time, we're going to look at this. If you were truly assured that God was with you, you'd be more courageous. And that just makes sense. If God was with you, would you be more courageous? Would you be more bold? I would. Well, he's promised. I am with you.